Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I know I said I was going to wait after the birth of my son, but it's never my will, it's his will. And when the Ruach HaKodesh tells me to go on, you go on. So, update of my back condition. I had an MRI. An MRI said that my L3, L4 are bulging and my L5 to my L5S1 is herniated. So I took an epidermal, which is the same needle that you get in the back when you're pregnant. I got that. So I'm pretty much moving around great now, but I can feel a little slight sensations here and there over the toe, which shows it's my L5S1 that's herniated, because those nerves that go in and out of your back, into your hip sockets, down to the back of your leg, into the front of your toe. If it's pinched, or the nerve is pinched, or the canal is, if the pathway through the canal is shortened or shrunken, it can cause the nerve to be agitated. And that's all it is. It's really just the nerve. It's not anything bone, thank y'all, but it's just the nerve. And so the nerve is like kind of numb right now. But I'm definitely excited. Within the next week or two, he should be here. Then I'm going to explain and show you in scriptures the things that I am doing to prepare for his arrival. You know, even like what Joseph and Miriam did for Yahusha before he was born and after he was born. Because after he was born, they took two turtle doves. And they gave an offering, and it's a statute amongst the children of Yasharel. I just recently found this out. It's a statute that whatever male opens the womb, you offer up two turtle doves. Now, you have to think that when Yahusha went into the market and saw that the people were selling at the temple, and he had to clear them all out, what do you think they were selling? One of the things they were selling were turtle doves, or they were selling doves. So obviously it's an ordinance deeper than what we can understand, that other fathers who were getting ready to have sons during that season, they would go to the market and buy doves, because there ain't no way in the world I was going to be able to trap these doves myself. I'm blessed to have brother Sammy Batier. He helped get the doves for me. So I got two doves right now sitting in my house making all types of weird noises. So that's what the ordinance was. So when Yahusha beat them all out of the temple and they were selling doves, that means there were fathers buying these doves and getting ready to offer them up because they was preparing to have a son. So that's what I'm doing. And it's another ordinance mentioned, I think, of Leviticus and how you should prepare an offering using doves. Like, you have to remove the feathers, you remove a part of their intestines. You have to remove it and then clean the bird off, ring off its head, and prepare it upon the fire. And that's what you have to do for an ordinance. So I'm gonna get into that, you know, when Oak comes. I'm going to catch you up with some of the things that have been going on in the past couple of weeks when I was gone. This whole Renee Good situation, it's awfully laughable, but it's sad because you see how many people take to the streets, end up getting themselves killed over protesting ICE. And that's what they do, the government. They create these psyops. The military creates these psyops. They create these rituals, and they watch people fall into it because they have no connection to the Heavenly Father. So people ask me so many times, what do we do? Like, we get it. We get it that there's Freemasons. We get it that they're Satanists. We get it that they run the government and Hollywood and sports. But what should we do? And the answer, it'd be like the same answer that Yahusha told to the rich man who wanted to take up his cross and follow Yahusha. He said, all right, sell what you, get rid of all that you own, and let your things be there, and then come follow me. And he never wanted to do it, but he had great possessions. Now, you don't have to give up everything. You don't have to give up your house. You don't have to give up your children, give up your money and all that. But you have to change over who you were in this world to somebody completely new. And most people don't trust that process to become a new creature. They want to see, okay, what's the benefits of it now rather than understanding the benefits through faith later. That's what most people don't understand. They expect you to have a 15-minute PowerPoint presentation of how this world is run, who to stay away from, and then if they follow this path and show them somehow through AI or some holographic presentation as well, that this is what their life will look like if they do ascending smoke offerings, drink offerings, feast days, set apart days, follow after uprightness and righteousness. This is what your life will look like in the future. And then they'll do it. But that's not how this game is played. This is not how the Most High has set this system up spiritually for us. And if they don't get to see the fruits of the labor before they have the labor or before they do the labor, then they ain't going to do it. So they ask, oh, what should we do? I mean, the answer was simple. Because if the Most High has told us, this is what's going to happen at this period of time. This is what's going to happen in this period of time. This is what's coming in due season. I'm preparing all of this for you. So when you come out of this world, you are protected and held at a different part of judgment. You're held for your righteousness away from what everybody else is going to go through. And most people don't want to do that. So when I see Renee Good, all you have to do is look at the video and know that her girlfriend, running her mouth, barking on all that, she had a checkerboard sweater on. Then, when you look at the video, the officer somehow pans. He's panning to the side of the sidewalk. He first takes a video of the license plate. Same video, and he's continuously moving around the car. But when he moved the phone away from the car license plate, which in numerology it was 33, by the way, you pan to a woman, two women standing on the side with a dog. And if you look at the dog, the dog looks kind of AI-ish. But whatever, it's a video. Then he pans around again. Then you see next to a house a Tyrannosaurus Rex standing on top of a car. That's what you see. After the women and the dog, you see a Tyrannosaurus Rex standing on top of a car next to a house. They wanted you to see this. They wanted to see how completely ignorant and dumb and blinded people truly are. It could have been a movie set, for all we know. It could have been a set that they were already shooting on or something they had props over there. Because its story didn't even make sense of why they came to this woman's house and she's in her car and they telling her to stop and get out of the car. But where is she going? And where was the protest? There wasn't a lot of people around. It was just a couple of people standing by, but there was no crowd protesting. And the only people who were talking loudly, it was, quote unquote, her girlfriend or her wife. So she's taking a video of the cop taking video of the car. And then when he got around to this other side, the woman tells, go, go, go. And then the woman just takes off. You don't know what she says or whatever, but she's talking, blah, 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 and she takes off. They say they shot her like three or four times. I only heard one bullet go to that windshield. They say she got shot in the elbow or shot in the neck or shot in the chest somewhere else, but they say she got shot multiple times. Then she drove into the whatever, to the little light pole and stopped. And someone broke down the video where it looked like her hand were merged together like it was AI. But it don't matter because the checkerboard gives it away. It gives it away. And most people still don't understand it. They've seen it so many times, they still don't understand it. Because they look at it as, okay, this is my chance to say something. This is my chance to stand up. I'm tired of my people, quote unquote, being shot and killed. And then, of course, all the social media warriors come out, enticing people's ruach to think that this is real. They're bringing back, if you remember him from Black Lives Matter, D. Ray, I think it's D. Ray McKinson, The gay black guy with the vest, the blue vest, always wearing those vests. That was like his trademark, was wearing those vests. So you knew it was him out there. And he was working for George Soros's Open Society organization. So now he's coming back out of the woodworks to try to go after ICE. Like I said, they keep revamping these social justice warriors, these social justice heroes, because you can't create more of them anymore because we're coming down to the final get it, the final issue. We're coming down to the bottom of it now. So there's not going to be any new people popping up anymore. They're going to use the ones they got and going to keep blinding you with it. And now they're mingling AI with it. And I'll get into that later. She had three children, and all of their ages added up to 33. And the storyline is incredible. First, she was married, then she was divorced, then she had kids, and then she divorced that second husband and ended up marrying a woman. So it was basically they went around and around and around of the single mother, divorced mother, and now in a gay relationship. This storyline in itself should have told you that this is forced. Now, the whole Golden Globes thing was funny. They're just like giving away awards, just like they're giving away those Hollywood stars. I know I Show Speed has one. A couple of the actors that they really haven't done much to have stars on Hollywood, but they got them. I think Michael B. Jordan got one. Not to say he's not a good actor, but he don't really have enough movie credentials to have a Walk of Fame star already. There's guys that's been in that business for 20, 30 years that now just getting one. And some of the guys who just been there for maybe 10 or 12 and now are just starting getting a name, they're getting one. And their career is not even over with. I thought you get one when your career is kind of like on the back end. So when I saw that Teyana Taylor, after 20 minutes of being in that movie, got the Golden Globe Award, somebody online said, yeah, she's like Halle Berry. And I was like, and everybody's like, no way, she's not Halle Berry. Like, it sounds kind of legit for her to be like Halle Berry, because if you look at Monsters Ball and you look at one battle after another, if any of you saw it, she's only in the movie for 20 minutes, really. And the line and the script writing was horrible. Absolutely horrible. It didn't make no sense, what she was saying. It just didn't. But the similarities between her and Halle Berry is that they both were acting like whores in heat, whether it be serious or was doing it to fool somebody. They were both, one guy was a military guy. Halle Berry's guy was a police officer. But Teyana Taylor had two. She had Leonardo DiCaprio as a lover, and she had Sean Penn as a kind of like fake lover, but somebody that she can dominate. And when he caught her, she had to use her sexuality to get out of it. And then she ends up getting pregnant with Sean Penn's child, where she thought it was Leonardo DiCaprio's child. So then she becomes a deadbeat mother and just leaves. I mean, it's just awful, really. They wanted her to get an award because they wanted you to idolize this woman. She sacrificed her marriage, that whole little marriage between her and, I think his name is Iman, whatever his name is, played basketball. That was the ritual. When they broke up and they made it a whole big to-do about him cheating or her cheating or whatever they were doing, that was the sacrifice. And then you see her pop up all over the place now in movies, SNL, and she's not really that funny. I mean, she's really not a good actress, but they're forcing her upon you. There was one part in the movie she was shooting like a, I was like a M60, like a big military weapon, and she was pregnant. But they want us to be reckless with our wombs. They want us to be reckless during pregnancy, which is why they gave us Christian Rock. They want us to chew up our children through the womb without even letting them get outside of the womb to do it. They want us to go to the very fetus to have this particular type of behavior going. And that's who they give awards to. But it was awful anyway. the college football scene and the NFL scene, has anybody noticed that it has gotten very Lord and Savior Jesus Christy all of a sudden? All of a sudden, after every interview in the playoff season, every interview with guys or quarterbacks, guys who are captains of the team, they were talking about, I'm going to thank God, thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you really didn't hear any of this during the 17-week season. You only started to hear it more in the playoff season, in the end or the wild card playoff season, and in the AFC championships. Now everybody's talking about Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to God. And I was like, that don't even sound right. It don't even make sense either. And I know that they know that they're trying to fool people because they're Freemasons. And I said this, most of the quarterbacks are Freemasons because most of the quarterbacks have to be Freemasons in order to manage an entire football game. That means when they have the little microphone in their helmet to tell them where to throw the ball and what plays to run, they have to be a part of it. So the script and the point spread stays intact. You can't do it without having one of those quarterbacks being Freemasons. It won't work because you need somebody that's always touching the ball. So the whole Fernando Mendoza thing, where he's talking about, oh, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to thank God, I want to thank, you know, and then people online run with it and have no idea that he came out of Belen Jesuit preparatory school out here in Miami, which if you go to online to their school, they boast that it's on a 33-acre lot. And when he was in a football camp at Miami, when he was at Belen Preparatory School, they gave everyone numbers, and he was the 119th, I guess, participant in this camp as a quarterback. And you know anything about numerology, which I've talked about at length on this show, was 119 was the same date as the National College Football Championship. So they set that up from all the way from the get-go. And you know it set it up if you look at the head coach, how they try to have him have a little bit of aura when he was doing interviews, talking about, yeah, just Google me. It was so cringe, like they forced him to say that to make it seem like he had a personality. But it wasn't his personality. He went from one university and he won a little bit and he came to this university and turned the program around from absolutely being the worst college football program in the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years. It's, you know, those stories don't happen. If it seems too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. So they basically are now into the college football. I had said this before, as soon as they start paying players with that and those NIL deals, Freemasonry is coming through the back door. They're going to start managing those college football games. And this is the reason why they made NFL and college football numbers look the same. They want you to believe it's all one product now. That means if you believe that the NFL is rigged, when you see these players with these college numbers, you got to automatically assume that the college football games are going to be rigged because it's the same product. It's the same numerology that you're seeing. That's why they did it. They want it to look like one thing now, so you can't readily identify what's being rigged. And some people love to ask me, well, who you think gonna win? I don't care, fam. I don't care who's going to win. I don't care. I'm not gonna guess. The whole thing about the Ruach HaKodesh is not set up to gamble and to win from gambling. I'm just simply showing you, exposing to you what it is. So if it's getting worse, that means if they're gonna rig more of these college football games, that means the gambling is getting worse. That means they're pulling as much as they can under the radar from gambling. This is why they're forcing gambling all over the social media platforms. This is why they're pushing the commercials. If I have to see one more Hard Rock, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed commercial again, I'm going to lose my mind. But it's everywhere. It's on your phones. I know you guys have seen them, these Hard Rock commercials. And these FanDuel and Fanatics, now Fanatics, which is the Jewish guy, Rubens, who had that white party, they're into gambling now. Now Fanatics is gambling. They are a memorabilia store or site or business. They sell memorabilia and jerseys and helmets. Now they're into gambling. And this is why they popularized that white party. To make it cool, to make you not think that, oh, you know, this is just a business. He has, you know, celebrities. This is the next step up is gambling. Soon Barstool is going to, either they not in gambling yet or they are. But it's the same way. Now, why do you think this is? Why do you think they're pushing rigged games on you and gambling on you? Because they are about to tear up this financial system. They're getting their little bit out of it. And then they're going to make it worse for people who are going to fall into this system by having gambling issues. So that's why they're pushing on you now. So when the financial market crashes, now they know that you're going to give all you have, all that you have in your bank account to try to guess these games. That's why they're joking about you and saying it's a script. That's why they fake release scripts. They do this in hopes, and they in hopes for you to lose your entire mind trying to get out of debt. That's why we prepare with the Ruach HaKodesh to know what's coming, not to try to benefit our pockets by guessing numerology, but to prepare ourselves financially to know that once it lands, once this blow happens, that we can cushion ourselves a little bit because we already prepared for it. And how do we prepare for it? If we have a little bit of a spending issue, if we're doing more takeout than we are dining in, if we're doing more going to the restaurants than we are preparing food, we stop doing all that. We start understanding our behaviors. Because that's what's going to save you. Maybe you don't need an extra pair of shoes right now. Maybe you don't need to get an extra coat. Maybe you don't need certain clothes. Maybe you don't need certain things just to get you through, to prepare your Ruach to start living without certain things for a time period until you get to until you cushion the blow of the financial crisis. Then you can be like, okay, now I got money to spend it on this, this, and this. People who don't know what's going on, they're just spending. They're just living as is. Churches, when people go into churches, they're not preparing. They're living as is and keep saying, well, God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. If he let the birds eat and he's prepared food for all animals, how much more important are we than they that he can prepare stuff for us? But that's only for people who are observing his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments are going to get this preferential treatment. People who are not truly worshiping and praising the Father as he has access to are not getting the same Ruach to be able to prepare and be able to still do the things that the Most High has called us to do without want. And I said this before, I have never read anywhere in scripture where the Most High turned somebody's table over or flipped somebody's house over when they were doing all of the feast days and offerings and living uprightly and righteously. He only did this when we stepped out of his word. When we tried to substitute his bread of life for the bread of the other nations, that's when we fell. Now, this whole Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the other half of that, the reason why they're doing it, is to get you ready for Albert Pike's Three World War letter when he said anybody disillusioned with Christianity will fall for Luciferianism. This is why there are a lot of Greek pastors and there are a lot of Freemason pastors in the pulpits as we speak. Because they're getting ready to drag you. If you ain't already drooling at the mouth, and when celebrities say Jesus, God, and Lord, and politics, they say Jesus, God, and Lord, ain't drooling at the mouth already to fall into the Luciferian agenda, they're going to drag you into it by preparing you through weak understanding of scripture, drag you through it to where you get to a point of hopelessness. You're like, oh, okay, now it's all fake then, huh? Now I don't have to follow it. Oh, it was just all about the sun's movement. It was all about a symbolic representation of how the sun moves and how the moon moves and the seasons. Like, oh, okay, now we fell for it. So now where do we go next? What do we do next? And people are going to question themselves and their faith in the midst of this civil war that they're getting ready to. It was really going to be a civil war based on resources. The haves against the have-nots. And so that's why they're pumping up this whole Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for football players. Which is really odd to me because you know who owns these sports leagues and you know who owns the television stations. So are people who keep saying or believe through the Talmud that Jesus Christ is boiling in excrement, why would they allow athletes, celebrities, politicians to talk about how much they love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if the Talmud teaches them that he's boiling in excrement, that he was just a magician, a son of a whore by a Roman soldier? That means they need you. They need Judeo-Christians. They need Christian Zionism. They need it to funnel. Because without Christians, the Jews have no leg to stand on. They have no power. They really don't. You see how the Jews are going back and forth with Muslims. But yet the Roman Catholic Church, they don't have no enemy. They don't have no opposition. They sit by quietly and said a word. You notice that? You notice how the Roman Catholic Church don't say nothing about Jews and Muslims, really? They over there, they using Zionism and Islam like puppets. But they are going to be look like the Savior. So two nations following a different doctrine of preparing for the Antichrist, and the Roman Catholic Church ain't said a word about it. They're just preparing to facilitate. Because it said in Albert Pike's Three World War letter that Zionism and Islam would tire itself out to exhaustion. And it won't be any more Islam. It won't be any more Zionism. Once the Antichrist steps on scene, everybody's going to lose their beliefs in something. Because through massacres and bloodsheds, that'll make people lose their faith. And when they see the other side of it, where they think it's peace, it's fake peace, when they see it, they will truly understand that this is all a trap. And then that's when Yah will show up. And this is why it says in Revelation that he gave them space to repent and they never repented. They didn't repent after he gave them space. So that means the Most High has basically Proverbs 1:26 them. Because they believe that, oh, we went through all of this for peace and now we're getting attacked. When we're in our peaceful days, when we're in our peaceful time, now we're being attacked. Because we weren't following what we were supposed to follow and nobody told us, we're definitely not going to repent and bow down ourselves to you, because we, like I said, that stupor that's going to seize the inhabitants of the earth, that stupor is a state of unconsciousness, is a state of haughtiness, it's a state of believing you better than the Creator. That spirit is going to sink in if it ain't sunk in already. So like I said, we are preparing to deal with how people are going to be moving in the last days, how money is going to be stopped in the last days, how resources are going to be scarce in the last days. This is what you prepare for through the offering and the connections and the feast days of Yahuwah and Yahusha. You have to perfect your Ruach through certain small trials and tribulations to get you to a point where, okay, this is what I need to do, because I've seen it happen, because the Most High has blessed me with opportunity to go through little trials and tribulations so I could perfect my Ruach. Most people in the world are not perfecting their Ruach. They're perfecting the traditions of man. Every season, they're perfecting the traditions of man and confusing themselves and thinking that it's for the love and for the worship and glory of the Most High Yahuwah. But I don't want to get too far away from the point. But you see Drake May's wife, she was doing a tutorial cooking show leading up to the AFC Championship. And she had a bowl out. And of course, the top of the bowl, or the border of the bowl on the outside, was checkerboard. She shows up at the AFC Championship game with a custom jacket on with a checkerboard around the collar and it goes down the zipper. And her husband, who was the quarterback of the New England Patriots, is going around saying, All glory to God. All glory to Jesus. So there are Freemasons talking about God and Jesus, but I have not seen anybody who's on a platform talking about Yahushua or Yahuwah. When you are part of the system, religion is a part of the system. And if it's a part of this system, that means that your Messiah is also part of this system. So this is why a lot of people are going to lose the faith, because they've known all their life their spirituality attached to this system. This is why the Most High said in Revelation, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon, so you receive none of her plagues. So how is something that was a plague, a destruction and desolation for us, be your salvation? Because that's what was forced upon us when we got off the boat here, was Christianity, was religion. So how will something that was our destruction be your salvation? Now, the whole thing about tech companies that Davos out in Switzerland, that the World Economic Forum has this meeting every year. They basically do this. Like I said, if this system was so strong, they wouldn't need to have these meetings, to tell you the truth. They wouldn't. They would give everybody a pamphlet and say, this is what we're going to do for you and do to you, and there's nothing you could do about it. Especially if they believe that this world is overpopulated, you would want people to die by either anger or getting themselves killed by going against the military that they control. I really don't see why they would have to veil these agendas in the midst of some locate region in Switzerland, and at the time where everybody's preoccupied with sports championships and sports seasons. They never do these meetings when everything is calm. Like, what would be the calmest month? Like, what, March or April? Like, when nothing is really going on? A March Madness, but say like April or May, where everything is kind of calmed down before the summer. Why not have their little conferences, the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg meetings? Why don't they just have those meetings when everybody can pay attention? Why do they always do it underneath something, underneath the bread and circus? Because they're not that powerful. Just like Yahushua made it a point to tell his enemies and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the priests that were coming to seek for his life, he would keep telling them, like, it's not my time. He told Judas, somebody's going to betray me. Whoever dips his bread is going to betray me. And then the dum-dum took his bread and dipped it. Like he knew. And he wanted everybody else to know that I know what you're doing before you do it. Told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He knew before people were going to do it. So it made it look like he had all the knowledge and understanding and power, which he does. So the world is not powerful if a man that came into this world perfect in nature was able to predict a program what was going to happen before it happened. So the reason why they veil these conferences and these meetings, because they know that individually it won't work if you attach yourself to the Creator. They know that their plans won't work, and they're scared that their plans won't work. Their whole point is to fool everybody. I think they kind of reckoned with they're not going to heaven. Like, even Donald Trump jokingly said it on the plane. He's like, I'm not going to heaven. They know they're not going. They know they're not going to repent, because their works somewhat have to do with repentance or the fruit of repentance. They may think, like, well, I'm going to get down to the end of it when the rocks are about to fall on us, when we're hiding in our caves, that I can repent and pray. But I think they're so scared that they won't do it. Or Satan's not going to keep them Satan's not going to allow them to be in a state of mind to where they repent. I mean, obviously Satan can't stop it, but he can cause people to not worry about repentance and worry about their own well-being and trying to get all they can out of this life. And that's all they've been building for, to try to get all they can out of this life for 3.5 years. 42 months. It said that in scripture. So we should be prepared for when 42 months in, 3.5 years in, that's it. That's the end of it. They're doing all of this for the last 100 to 200 years just to get to 3.5 years of them totally reigning and doing what they want. If you look at it that way, it's pathetic. Some of these men are in their 70s. Most of these men, they're at the World Economic Forum. They're in their 70s and 80s. They won't make it in 10 years. If they're trying to release or trying to be on schedule with Agenda 2030, if they're really pushing to get to Agenda 2030, those who are in their 80s, in their mid-80s, they won't even make it to see the fruit of their wickedness. They won't even get to see it. They gotta lay all this upon somebody else in their 70s. And like, it's always pushed by men in their 70s and 80s to try to get to something they will never see. It's a wasted life. They lived in vain to do all this for their entire life just to get to something they won't even get to enjoy. And when they get to enjoy it, they won't even enjoy it for that long. That's what's laughable. That's why the Most High has sped up time. This is why he has shortened the seasons. He has shortened the time. This is why the moon is coming in 10 days too soon, year after year now. This is why, for the elect's sake, time is sped up. And this is my King David theory when it comes to Satan's little minions and his angels masquerading as light. He looked at it as how Yahuwah picked David from the least of his brethren, the least in the house, to make him a great king. Satan is going to take the least of this system, which is the fatherless, which is the orphan, which is the abused child. Take them and put them on his platform and boost them up to make them kings and queens, goddesses and gods. That's why he does it. If Satan wants to be like the Most High, people don't understand how deep that sentence is. That means if you understand the numerology of the Most High Yahuwah, Satan will take that numerology and make it about his things. If you take the way the Most High wants worship and praise, Satan will have a sense of worship and praise. If Yah is through the Ruach, Satan is through the flesh. If Yah said, I do not like the shedding of innocent blood, Satan says, go ahead and spill the blood. If Yah said, I want man and woman to be together, have a sexual union, he will say, you do whatever you want with your flesh. Just don't do marriage. You do whatever you want. If you do marriage, have it be corrupted. If it's corrupted, do the will that I want you to do. Because I know that goes through the children and the children's children. So it's the same. If Yah can bring up the lowliest person, exalt him, as it said in scripture multiple times, the lowly are exalted, the humble are exalted. Satan will take the lowly of this world and exalt them. So that's why you see all these little minions pop up all over the place pretending to be angels of light. Cardi B showing up with lime green hair after she done called this little girl who was picking championships, or the little girl was picking whatever winner was coming out of the playoff bracket. She was picking them and she was all wrong. And then Cardi B, they made her do a video, and then she called the little girl the B word. And that became a thing. And that was just a signal, like, oh, pay attention to Cardi B during the game. And she came out with lime green hair. Lime green numerology is 33. So it's just, they want that image of, this is what a black image of a sports family that we want you to look at. Like, they gave you Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. They want to give you the receiver, I can't think of off the top of my head, that receiver and Cardi B. That's what they want. They wanted you to look at that. That's why their shenanigans is all over the internet. Him doing drugs, and then all of a sudden you show him being lascivious. And it's just, that's what they want for us. That's the image they want for us. So going to these little tech companies out of this World Economic World Economic Forum, they've already bragging that it's too many people in this world. They're already bragging that AI is going to take away a lot of jobs. If you looked at the Higgins Field, there's an AI company called Higgs Field. And that they did a trailer and it looks pretty real. It had The Rock in it, Timothy Chalamet, Will Smith, a couple other actors, but it looked so real. Like the AI looked real. And you could look go from where it was Will Smith eating spaghetti to where AI is now. You could tell it's a military installation. No one's creating AI out of thin air, especially when they already programmed this with it. Remember the Running Man? They gave you a new version of Running Man, but if you go to the old version of Running Man, when Arnold Schwarzenegger's character was strangling Jesse the Body Ventura in the last part of the movie, they said it was like a digital image that they mapped it on the real person, and they created a fake wrestling match where Arnold Schwarzenegger's character dies. That's AI. They didn't have a name for it then, but it was AI. And that was like 1980 something that movie came out. So for Sam Altman to have OpenAI and all these ChatGPTs, they already had this stuff already. What they do is they make people the image of it. So they really want you to believe that this gay man who has a gay lover is smart enough to do AI. Just like the other guy who has the other AI business that was talking about the Antichrist or doing symposiums and conferences talking about the Antichrist, and he's also gay. And we know that being wicked and being sinful doesn't make you smart, it makes you stupid. So there's no way in the world that all of a sudden in this last couple of months or this last couple of years that all these AI applications pop up out of nowhere and the people who are involved with it happen to be gay and happen to be Jewish. Don't work that way. They've already been working on AI. And the earliest that I found it, what I posted on my Instagram, was in 1973. If you remember the cartoon Super Friends, this is them describing what AI is going to be in the future.
Professor, why do you call it the Geek?
Well, its full name is Goodfellow's Effort Eliminating Computer. GEEC, Geek. There it is, gentlemen. The Geek. Holy brainbusters. It's gigantic.
Very impressive, Professor.
I'll show you how it works. This control bank operates all types of transportation. Everything from bicycle to spacecraft. Communications, telephones, television, everything. The Geek is programmed to handle all business matters. Buying, selling, advertising, filing, typing, bookkeeping.
Fantastic.
These controls can run every factory machine in the land. No need for factory workers.
Wow.
Farming, eh? I guess the Geek will run the tractors and let the farmers take a rest.
They deserve it. Everybody deserves a rest. That's why I built the Geek. Since the beginning of time, men and women have had to work hard every day to survive. But now, with the Geek in control, nobody will have to work. Not even housewives.
But that means actors and athletes will still have to do their jobs.
No, no. The actors and athletes won't be real people. There'll be electronic images programmed to go through the motions of a play or a variety show or an athletic event.
Hey, imagine Joe Namath can sit at home and watch himself playing a football game that he never really played.
Yes, exactly. No one will have to wear himself out doing a job of work. The Geek will do it all.
So the Geek is what he's talking about. The supercomputer is AI. That's 1973. So you want me to believe that Sam Altman created OpenAI and all these other different AI companies out of nowhere? You think they just poof? Yeah, that's everybody getting into AI, and let's perfect it within 5 years, even less. There's no way. They've already had this technology going. They basically stop the advancement of technology just so we can get to the Antichrist, just so they can program us so much with our own foolishness that we won't be able to decipher what's reality and truth anymore, or what's reality and what's fake anymore. People are already struggling with AI because as soon as they released it, everybody released it as a joke. Everybody was laughing. It started off with old grandmas telling dirty jokes. And when you laugh at that, you accept the programming. You subconsciously accept that this is reality. So now they mingle in AI with reality and people can't tell the difference. So this is why it says in scripture that that this system or the Antichrist could possibly, if they were able to fool the elect. That's what Yahushua said. If it would be possible to even fool the elect. So this is why what I'm doing as far as my worship and praise is to stay so closely to the Father. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be fooled by AI. This is why I pay attention to the pattern recognition and things that come out on certain dates so I cannot be fooled. Because they're going to use AI, mingle it with the Antichrist. This head wound that he recovers from, the beast head wound that it recovers from, could it be AI that we're watching? They're setting it up, especially through Trump, going through these fake assassinations. They make you think like now we live in an era where leaders could be assassinated. This is why they're building it up. Even though we could tear through that ritual of knowing that it's fake, the reason why they're introducing it, because they want to prepare you for what could possibly happen with the beast. And then Trump signed, I don't know if it's an executive order, but he signed that he was going to look more into 6G. And you would need 6G to basically bring together all these 15-minute cities or these smart cities. Like now we're not talking about 5G anymore, we're talking about 6G. And if you remember the conspiracy about 5G being the reason why people were sick and it wasn't the coronavirus, that the frequency was destabilizing people's immune systems because the grid was going up. Remember how they went back and forth with that? Remember how Carrie Hilson caught hell because she mentioned that it was 5G. It wasn't really a coronavirus. It was these 5G towers going up. Now it's going to be 6G. And I'm not saying the whole thing about the virus is connected to the 5G or through frequency. I'm just saying that this is what was going on. And it just so happens that there's now another virus coming out of India being brought on with animals transferring some type of virus to humans. And it's the bat. It's the same story that they gave you with COVID, that it came from a bat and it somehow bitten or it was transferred into humans. And this is why it's flu-like symptoms. And where it is coming from is coming through the winter, where this is going to be the incubation period of this virus. This is what, I mean, like I said, they give you the same storyline, the same narratives, and people eat it up because they have no understanding and they have no memory recall of things that's being done to them because they're attached themselves to the system. And the system has the ability to change the channel every time people start to catch on to something. Like as soon as people start digging into something, they change the channel. And the more times they change the channel, people forget what was even happening that they were going to investigate. That's what happens when you're in this system for too long. You start changing with them. Your mind goes whenever they bring out something that they want you to know about or want you to take serious. So this little virus is coming out of India. I'm just waiting because once they introduce it now, it's going to be one or two cases that pop up over here and then we back to those COVID lockdowns. And you would have to have some type of lockdown before Agenda 2030, because Agenda 2030 is about land and it's about vaccines. That's the agenda. This is why they've been burning up and flooding out from Jamaica to the Carolinas to all around the world. These little floods happening because they're trying to build these cities on top of them. And once you build the cities or once you have the infrastructure, then you have to also bring in, you know, the whole chip and mark thing. And they've already been bragging about it on the World Economic Forum, are trying to merge telecommunications capabilities with the body. So instead of worrying about your vaccines and when you're getting it or when it's time for you to get it, instead of worrying about taking continual vaccines, hey, put this chip in you and you don't have to worry about that. It'll give you access. I think everybody should watch the movie Greenland. The first one, not the second one. The second one was horrible. But the first one, it kind of laid out what they want you to be programmed with. That when it all goes down, eventually, people are going to be given a mark, or some people are going to be chosen to live certain places. When this all goes down, you're going to be wanting the mark. You're going to be wanting to be a part of society. You're going to be wanting to be included so you don't have to go through struggle or go through strife. So watch that movie Greenland, which is the reason why they're talking about Greenland now. They're going to use Greenland as a military jump point. So that means war is coming. If they're using it as a military jump point, and they also are preparing for destruction, that means the rich people need somewhere to go. They need somewhere to hide themselves, to keep their wealth intact. Because obviously they have wills, they have transference of power. If any of them are knocked off or any of them die, they lose their wealth. They lose the ability to transfer their wealth. So while everybody's going through upheaval, trials, tribulations, desolation, and destruction, they need somewhere to be. So that's what the movie was pretty much telling you, that certain people were selected, they had to wear a band, and they were going to Greenland. This is why Trump is going after Greenland, which is why Ronald Lauder of the Estee Lauder cosmetics line, this is the reason why he's pushing for Trump to take over Greenland. It's because they want a place to run. That's all it is. They want a place to run. They want a place to run and cause more upheaval and destruction. And then maybe they'll come back. I mean, they already putting so many of these movies out there, like Demolition Man is a good one, where the whole city pretty much turned into a 15-minute city or a smart city. And so when I remember that I told you that it was good to have a trade more than working in technology or electronics because AI is coming, this guy, I think his name is Mike Rowe, pretty much clarified it for me.
We've been telling kids for 15 years to code. Learn to code, we said. Yeah, well, AI is coming for the coders. They're not coming for the welders. They're not coming for the plumbers. They're not coming for the steam fitters or the pipe fitters or the HVAC. They're not coming for the electricians. You know, that ideas festival I was telling you about in Aspen, I sat there and listened to Larry Fink say, we need 500,000 electricians in the next couple of years. Not hyperbole. This is me being the alarmist again. There's not a week that goes by in my humble little foundation. It's called MicroWorks, shameless plug. We award work ethic scholarships every year, right, to kids who want to learn a skill that's in demand. These are trade school scholarships. Not a week goes by where I don't get a phone call from somebody like the Blue Forge Alliance, who oversees our maritime industrial base. That's 15,000 individual companies who are collectively charged with building and delivering 3 nuclear-powered subs to the Navy every year for 10 years. Right? 2 Virginia, 1 Columbia class. Mind-bogglingly complicated. This guy calls and says, we're having a hell of a time finding tradespeople. Can you help? I said, I don't know, man. It's pretty skinny out there. How many do you need? He says 140,000. 140,000. Now, granted, over 7 years, but they need 80, 90,000 right now. These are our submarines, folks, right? Things go hypersonic, little sideways with China, Taiwan, whatever. Our aircraft carriers are no longer the point of the spear. They're vulnerable. Our submarines matter. And these guys have a pinch point because they can't find welders and electricians to get them built. Where are they? They said. We've looked everywhere. Do you know? I said, yeah, I know where they are. They're in the eighth grade, man. They're in the eighth grade. And the same thing, the automotive industry needs 80,000 collision repair and technicians. Energy, I don't even know what the number is. I hear 300, I hear 500,000 everywhere. So not to filibuster, but that's the underlying thing that I just really hope people take from this conference. There is a clear and present freak out going on right now.
So he's basically saying AI will be able to fix most things, but there's certain things that you just need humans for. Until they find robots that be able to fix cars, rewire houses, that's it. Everything's going to shut down. So trade schoolers or having a trade or a skill outside of technology, you're going to be winning. I remember a brother I had on here as a guest. He was looking for, he was asking for what should he do or advice about about going into a different trade or staying with a particular job. And that should be his answer. It's better for you to stay with a trade rather than try to get into anything with technology, because AI is coming. It's coming for fast food. It's coming for factories. It's coming from anything you need as far as concierge service. AI is going to provide it. It's going to be a day when we're going to walk into a hotel. It won't be anybody at the front desk. We'll be talking to a robot. Even if you had questions like, well, what's to do in the city? Like, obviously, you act like you can't look in your phone and look at the things that are going around in the city. You don't really need to talk to the front desk people anyway. If you complain to something, you could, you're just picking up the phone and complaining to an automated service. You need your key or you need to upgrade the room and all that. That's a kiosk. But just imagine, they're already using AI in movies when it comes to the court system. They had this movie coming out with Chris Pratt called Mercy, and the judge is AI. I mean, technically, you don't really need a judge anyway. You don't really need a lawyer. The law is the law. Everything is, basically, they're going to give you justice. The justice that everybody complaining about and justice that's not happening. As soon as everything goes down, you could just do everything by AI. You can have an AI lawyer who already knows all the law. So even if you got a court-ordered lawyer or somebody they just gave to you because you couldn't afford one, you get a particular type of AI. But you still get an AI robot that knows majority more than the guy they would give you who is just learning the law or he had just passed his bar. I mean, those days are coming. They're going to be short, but those days are coming. So to get into scripture, finally, after I did the whole catch-up thing, I'm reading the book of Maccabees with my mom during our Bible studies, and we both pointed out something that was kind of funny and understandable if you understood like the narratives and the timeline and how the Most High makes us comfortable with multiple examples all strung together on the same narrative. So when we were reading the book of Maccabees, when it talks about the destruction of the temple by the Greeks, the Grecians, the children of Yavan, there was a guy named Nicanor who was king, and he was wicked, and he couldn't stand the Israelites. I mean, he hated them. But when he walked into Mount Zion, he, in his heart, had a way to want to, okay, let's stop this war between us, because Yehuda Maccabee was tearing them up. They was pissed that Yehuda Maccabee was tearing them up. Him and his brother was wreaking havoc. A Nat Turner in his day. And Nicanor hated the Israelites, but he wanted to make peace with them. So he made peace with them until he came to Mount Zion and saw how fortified Mount Zion was, and then changed his mind and wanted to destroy the Israelites. So they ended up going to battle with him. They cut off his head and cut off his hand and hung him on the walls of Jerusalem because he blasphemed against the Most High Yahuwah. The same thing with Haman. Haman hated the Israelites. Hated the Israelites. Because he was a child of Agag, the Amalekites, who Saul didn't eradicate them all, but let some of them alive. And Haman was the offspring of that. And we know that what happened to Haman in the book of Esther. He was hung. We made deal with the Greeks, and it backfired. And then the Romans came, 70 AD. We tried to make deals with them. That backfired. So the Most High was teaching us constantly, if you don't obey my word, this is going to happen to you. I didn't want you to make deals with the Canaanites that were around about you, but you came into this new temple and you tried to make deals with the Greeks, and that backfired and ended up causing more havoc once you made a deal with them. Now, when the Romans came down, because now the Romans know that you're down there. Now the Romans know of the prestige of Jerusalem and Mount Zion. You try to make deals with them for calm and peace. That backfires. So what should that tell you? That we should never be in any covenant outside of the Most High Yahuwah. Because you see what happened to Jerusalem with two nations. Two nations that Esau's children have gone into. King Sepho ruled in Kittim. Before it was Rome, it was Kittim. King Sepho was a descendant of Esau. And that bloodline went through the Greeks. Or the children of Yavon. Because it said that Esau's children subdued and conquered the children of Japhet. So he merged and polluted his seed throughout those nations. So I wonder if Nicanor, as it mentioned in Maccabees, is actually a descendant of Esau. I wonder. But we don't get all that knowledge. We just get what we get and kind of piece it together. And the other thing is, when it comes to religion, I don't see how people still can't understand that when they say Jesus is God and the laws and statutes and the prophets were fulfilled, they don't understand what fulfilled means. They do not understand what fulfilled means, especially when they say Jesus is God, which means they believe that Jesus created the world in 7 days or in 6 days and rested seven. They keep trying to merge the Father and Son into one, which is why they say the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They create one entity out of three different things. But if they actually read the scriptures, it will expose you to the point that that's not true. I can go to John 8. For instance, if you go to John chapter 8, it was when Yahusha was brought a woman who got caught in the act of being an adulteress. That means they caught her. I don't know if she was on it, but they caught her or heard her, and they brought her out. They ain't bring the man out. They brought the woman out. Now, wherever she was caught in the act, I don't know if she was naked on top of him, they dragged her, whatever they dragged her from, and brought her to Yahusha. And Yahusha stood on the ground, was writing, listening to what they were saying, and he said, "Whoever without sin, cast the first stone." Now, after he said this to her, and after he said this to the crowd, he told her, "Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more." Now, this shows you that the law, statutes, commandments are not done away with, because if they were, he would have told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he would have said, "You know what? Hold on for a couple minutes. Hold on for a couple weeks or a month or a year or two. I'm going to die for your sins so you can continue doing them." Even when he was alive, he told this woman, "Go and sin no more." If he knew that he came into this world to die for our sins so that we can keep having sins, why would he even tell her sin no more? He would have just said, "Just be patient. I'm going to take care of all that." So that shows me that the laws, whether he was alive, crucified, and risen, do not change. When he says sin no more, that means sin no more, regardless of what happens after that, or regardless what happens to him after that. Then when it comes to the doctrine of Jesus is God, basically saying Yahushua is Jah, that they're one person, that Yahuwah came down to be a man, to walk among us, and then talk to himself on the cross, and then die, and then be risen up. That don't make sense either. But if you read a couple of verses after the story of the adulterous woman, then you read that he says two are a witness, which validates what he said in scripture, that two are a witness. He says in Yochanan 8, verse 16, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in the statutes describing that the testimony of two men is true. Now, if he was Jesus is God, he wouldn't say the testimony of two men. He would say the testimony of me, myself, and I. He says, I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. So that's two people. He don't say I am one that bears witness of myself and that's it. He says, no, I bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Validating scripture or what the prophet said, that let every matter be established with two or three witnesses. I'm not going to go over all of them, but when it comes to fulfilling the word or fulfilling the prophets, they tell you in Mattityahu when it talks about being or having things fulfilled. Mattityahu 27:8-9. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Zechariah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Yasharel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as Yahuwah commanded me. If you go down to Zechariah 11, 12, and 13, it says, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And Yahuwah said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of Yahuwah. This is one of the reasons why the Most High uses also symbolism, why he uses this narrative or predictive programming. Where do you think the entertainment industry gets it from? If you understand Yah at a very institutional level, you understand the way this world works. And you'll be able to laugh at it because it's the pattern recognition is crazy. The same way that we can learn pattern recognition with the word, that's what's going to save us in the end. It's not about hoarding up resources and getting generators and all. It's not about that. It's about understanding the pattern recognition of the Most High, especially when it comes to protection, blessings, and salvation of his people. That is what it is. I'll go to another fulfillment. Mattityahu 27, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Go to Psalms 22. Eli, Eli, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Doesn't that sound like Yahusha? O Elohai, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Yasharel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you did deliver them. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head and saying, he trusted on El Yahuwah that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my belly. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is David. Way before, or a couple of generations before Yahushua came into this world to be crucified. Predict the programming. This is what it means to fulfill. Not to fulfill the law, it means not to do it, but fulfilling the law, statutes, commandments, and what the prophets were saying about Yahushua's walk in this life, especially his last days. And another one, Mattityahu verse 1, 20 through 23. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Miriam, your woman, for that which is conceived in her is the Ruach HaKodesh. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Yah by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call the name of the same Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, Our El is with me. Yeshayahu 7, 14 and 15, Therefore Adonai himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth an infant son, whose name is called Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Why do you think it was so many sun gods out of different nations that had almost the same kind of story of Yahushua? Because they read the scriptures the same thing that we read. They've heard the stories the same way we heard of them. And this goes all the way back to Genesis. Satan knew it was going to be a son. He knows that the Most High doesn't lie. When he says, I'm going to bring a seed in there that's going to stomp out the head of the serpent, Satan, with all his infinite wisdom, understands exactly what Yahuwah was going to do. So he thought, okay, all I have to do is make up the images. I know what's coming. I'm just going to sprinkle it around other nations in hopes that the children of Yasharel will cleave to the savior I make, whether it be Horus or Kali or whatever those other gods are, Zeus. I'll just sprinkle the nations with the same type of Messiah in hopes that the children of Yisrael will cleave to it, and the other, called out assembly, Gentiles, will cleave to it. So they won't understand the truth. And when they get to a period when the knowledge is increased, they'll say that the entire story of the Bible was based on stories that we've already seen. And they, like most Freemasons are talking about now, who are trying to talk down on the Bible. Oh, it's the story of the Epic of Gilgamesh. Oh, it's the story of the Anunnaki. We already heard these stories before. Oh, it's the story of Isis, Horus, and Set. Oh, it was about Athena, Zeus, and Dionysus. Oh, it's about Kali, and I don't know any of those other Indian gods, but you get the point. If you remember that movie Zeitgeist, when it was talking about the 9/11, he started off talking about religion and how all these different religions over time, like Mithra and all that, had the same type of story as Yahushua of coming in, having 12 this, 12 that, and they used it as a allegory. Just like people are like, oh no, it's the 12 disciples, it's really just the seasons and the months. And if you look at the Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper, it was basically broken off in seasons. Like every person was kind of grouped together in months, like the winter months, the fall months, the spring and the summer. That's how the disciples were painted to look at. And if you look at the legs of the table, there's four legs of the table, was denoting the four seasons. If you look at the way he did it like a compass. Because then the tables don't look like that, especially when they look two-dimensional. The table and the characters were three-dimensional, but if you look underneath the table were at like a point, it would look like a compass. So it was four compasses. So anyway, that's how they try to make the scriptures. So when people come out of religion and fall into the Luciferian agenda, they will be exposed to this and they'd be like, oh, we don't have to follow the Bible because the Bible was just more about the sun and the moon and how it moved and the seasons. That's how they're going to see it, that the story was just made up. And that's what happens when you know, don't know the people, but you know the religion. Here's another fulfillment. Matthew 21, verse 4 and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So this is all predicted, programmed, that a savior was going to come unto Yasharel from Yasharel to save Yasharel and the called out assembly Gentiles. That is what it means to be fulfilling the prophets or fulfilling the word or fulfilling the law. It was the things that were talked of about him to prepare the nation. That's the Most High said, I'm not going to shock you and surprise you with anything. I'm going to tell you from here on out, this is what you need to do to live. This is what you do that's going to end up having you dying and or destroyed. You choose. And people complain about free will and why the Most High doesn't reward the wicked with their wickedness, because everything is in due time. The Most High is going to do it. We've seen him do it. We've seen him destroy nations after nations after nations. How is this going to be any different? We just impatient because we want, as soon as we turn over a good leaf or we turn over a new leaf, we now want to see the destruction upon all of our enemies and upon wickedness. It don't work like that. We're not the only people who are being woken up. Sometimes you need the wicked to help wake up the righteous. Now, if everybody's getting destroyed, who's getting woken up? Who's coming out of this world? Who's proving their faith? You need an opponent, do you not? You need to see how wickedness is being so you know how not to be. Some people need to learn by seeing. Sadly, some people need to learn by seeing. Some people are visual learners. Sadly, I'm a visual learner. I'm the one that has to put his hand on the stove a couple of times to know if it's truly hot. And if it's hot, how long can I hold my hand on the eye of the stove before it truly burns me? That's how I live my life. Now, I know. I refrain. Now, out of the natural fear of the Most High, now I know how to be like, you know what? I don't even need to put my hand on that. I know it's dangerous. I don't need to taste that. I know it's dangerous. There's some things I would love to do. My eyes see it. I'm like, oh, I'd be so cool if I could do that. And I'm like, after I experience it, I'm like, my Ruach's telling me that this may be the last time I'm doing it. It's just that's natural fear. Natural fear of the Most High will have you thinking three or four times, are you allowed to do something? And then when it doesn't go the way you want, then you really go back to the drawing board and say, I don't even think I was supposed to do this. Let me ask Yah. Let me pray to him and see if I'm allowed to do this. And he'll show you. But like I said before, he has never flipped over anybody else's house or any servant of his who is doing the right thing. And I found this out by reading Psalms 50, verses 7 through 15. He goes, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Yasharel, and I will testify against you. I am Elohim, even your Elohim. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your ascending smoke offerings to have been continually before me. Continually means it has never stopped. Now that we understand scripture, now we understand his sense of worship and praise, it has never stopped. It wasn't supposed to stop. It wasn't supposed to like stop when we came over here, gone through these curses, find out who we are, and be like, okay, we cool now. No, these things are done every generation, apart from us going through spiritual blindness. They're supposed to be done every season, every feast day. That's why they're a part of most of the feast days. Sukkot, You have to give an offering 7 days. Some of the set apart days, like Yom Kippur or Yom Terah, I think, you have to offer an ascending smoke offering. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your ascending smoke offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I like when he says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. If I wanted to smell your ascending or smoke offerings, I would not tell you. I'm not going to reprove you for your ascending smoke offerings because I know it's a statute and ordinance I have commanded you to do. I'm not going to flip over your house because I've been providing you with resources so you can continue giving ascending smoke offerings. You understand what I'm saying? Financial crisis or not. If our minds are on to giving and worshiping and praising the Most High through offering, why would he take away that ability, regardless if it was a financial crisis or not? Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto Elohim thanksgiving and pay your vows unto El Elyon. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See? That's it. People ask, like, what do you need to do? Psalms 50 is it. I mean, there's other parts in scripture also, but Psalms 50 is the meat of what I was talking about and have been talking about when it comes to ascending smoke offerings. And really, I shouldn't have to talk about ascending smoke offerings because they're a part of new moons, they're a part of feast days, and a part of set apart days. So what are you guys doing that are not allowing you to do these offerings? Is it space? Is it the fact you live in an apartment? It shouldn't be because of your age, because you have more than ninth grade reading comprehension to understand this. It comes down to will. It comes down to what you want to do. It comes down to free will. Now, people call this legalism or being legalistic. Or Hebrew roots movement. It's not. It's scripture. That's all it is. It's scripture. Let me ask you, how much money you think you wasted in the churches in your religion? How much money you think you poured into the collection plate when you went to church? 2,000? 3,000? I mean, lifetime. 5,000? 10,000? I mean, obviously, our mothers gave us the dollar, and we put the dollar in the building fund. How much money do you think you gave to the building fund when you were in religion, when you went to church? What is the Most High supposed to do with debt fiat currency? Money that's backed up by debt, made by man. And the image of this currency is rooted in symbolism that he destroyed. So we give in the Most High currency with an eagle and a pyramid on the back of it with Masonic language and say, this is how we praise and worship you. Now give me this money back to me. Now I'm giving you my 10%. Now I want my just due out of this same currency backed up by nothing. It would make sense for him not to give you anything, right? If as righteous as the Most High is, the most upright man that we know, apart from Yahusha, We would expect him to reward us by giving us back nothing, which is why all these churches have these mega church pastors that are making all the money and they are getting nothing in return. I'm not seeing the wealth of the pastor match the wealth of the congregation. Let me give you a story that is in Mattityahu chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. To bring it home for you. And when they came, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Kepha and said, does not your Adonai pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Yahusha prevented him, saying, what do you think, Shimon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Kepha said unto him, of strangers. Yahusha said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and you. So why would we need to want for anything? Yahushua was walking around with no money. And they had to pay taxes or pay tribute. On the spot, he told Kepha, go and get the first fish that comes up. And there's money in the mouth. Now, why would he need Kepha to do all this? Why he just say, I'm pretty sure Yahushua could have easily known of a place where there was money buried in the field or money under a rock. Why the story of the fish and casting a hook? He wanted to let you know it don't matter where you are. I can provide for you. You would think in your mind like, oh, he's going to tell me to go pick up some money off the floor. Or he's going to tell me to go into a house. You find money in the most ridiculous places. And in this story, it's in the mouth of a fish. Could you imagine how much money is in the mouth of a fish that would satisfy a tribute? Now, we don't know the money of the tribute back then. But I'm guessing it's a couple of tokens, a couple of coins, a couple of shekels. It just shows you who we serve, man. It's all set up for us to never, absolutely never worry about resources, worry about food, worry about money. Truly, if we are doing the things that we're supposed to do. So this is why I say that if you're doing the feast days and you do them correctly, the Most High is going to provide for us so we can continue doing them, regardless if the financial crisis happens in the next year, in the next 5 years, or in the next month. He is going to provide and give us a way to have a resource. This is why you need the wicked. This is why the wicked is growing untouched. Because if when they amass wealth and resources through their wickedness, or even not even through their wickedness, but have resources and money and sustenance, if they have this, that means they are prime and ripe for us to gain their resources, gain their sustenance when the wicked fall. Some of you don't even understand you living right next to somebody that's completely wicked that has sustenance. And all it takes is for them to fall through their own wickedness and sustenance that their resources stumble upon your house. Oh, you need money for taxes or you need money for this. You won't have Yahushua, you'll have the Ruach HaKodesh telling you, oh, go this way. Don't go left, go right here. Go down here a little bit. And then you find what you're looking for in some random location. So you will know that it came from Yahushua. You know it didn't come from your own power, your own knowledge, and your own understanding. That you know it came from nobody else but Yahuwah, Yahushua, and the Ruach HaKodesh. That is why we have to have our faith tried. That is why we have to have an opponent. This is why the wicked are abounding right now. This is why the wicked are going to continue to be wicked in their wickedness to the day he comes. This is why Yahuwah has already told us and predicted program us with the second Exodus in Genesis 15, 13, and 14 when he says, the nation in which I judge, whom they serve, I will bring out and they will have great sustenance. He didn't say you will have good sustenance, okay sustenance, sustenance enough to get you to where you're going. He said great sustenance. And where that sustenance is going to come from, it's going to come from the destruction of the wicked. So only thing you need to do is to continue in his righteousness, giving him his worship and his praise and his offering so he can deliver you from all of aforesaid perils. See y'all next week.